wouldn't be fair.
Well, who says life is fair? Where is that written? Life isn't always fair.
What they gonna say now?
Let's have a discussion.
I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Let's be honest with ourselves here.
God love you. What am I talking about?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
They did it.
Councilmember Mosqueda?
No.
Councilmember Nelson?
Aye.
Council President Juarez?
Aye.
Four in favor, five opposed.
All right. So the bill has failed.
So there you go, Seattle. July 1st at 12:01, it'll be, you know, because remember, the state law was going to grandfather, it was going to sunset. How do I screw that up a little? It was going to sunset at midnight, end of June. So that's why you had all these cities scrambling to pass their own gross misdemeanor drug possession and drug use laws. Seattle said, no, big nose on that. And the crazy part is the guy, the swing vote is the guy that represents downtown. This guy, Andrew Lewis, and wait till you hear his weepy little speech. But man, I gotta say, I can't back Olga Sagan enough. I mean, here's someone who came from the Soviet Union, built a successful business, had to close it for a year. Pirashki, by the way, had to close it for a year because the city that she paid taxes to couldn't guarantee the safety of her business. And so guess what? Now she's running for city council for that seat. If I'm that guy, I wouldn't be running. And I know Peterson's not running. But so anyway, and you know, the crazy part is my niece has friends coming in from Cape Town. We're going to that Tampa Bay 1 o'clock July 2nd game. And I know Seattle police will flood, you know, with a home game or home series, they'll flood you know, the area to keep people with like a stump for a foot and possible drug problems out of there. And by the way, I was on the Zoom hold. I was in the queue to give a public comment for like 2 hours and they never got to me. They just said all the people have been saying, it's been shown that criminalizing drug possession and use is not effective in deterring, you know, all this crap. And their fault, the Seattle City Council's fault, what Kent did right, what CTEC did right, and all that, is saying, look, we're tying this to treatment, to mandate, but this gives, the charge gives the offer for treatment leverage. And wait, you ask any addict right now today, hey, I have free treatment. It's 60 days. It's on an island. You can kayak. You can canoe. There's a Wolfgang Puck is an addict too, and he's doing all the cooking. It's crab and salmon. All they're going to say no. I would rather stay in this filthy tent and smoke fentanyl because that's the entire point of an addiction. But if you say you got a gross misdemeanor because now it's illegal, and if you walk away from that, you're going to next time it's going to be a felony, and it's leverage is what it is. Did you hear about the 12-year-old in Tukwila, Greg? I mean, Renton is Tukwila adjacent, right?
It's very close.
Tukwila curious. 12-year-old girl in foster care. It's just, I mean, you can see the path that this person's on. Goes into juve, a bunch of assaults with a knife, all this stuff is escalating. At one point, she convinced her bestie to assault a cop in Tukwila so that the two of them could hang out in juvie. This has really happened. And we'll get to that here in just a second. So the girl that was lost in the Central Cascades north of Cleom is Afghan, a 10-year-old Afghan girl. So, I mean, listen, your kid, I'm sure your kid is fine, and a friend of mine takes his kids hunting and takes them out to the woods with like basically a Mylar, you know, silver blanket and water filters, and they have to go find water and filter it from the stream and all that. But I mean, he's an exception. I gotta say, if someone said an Iraqi kid or a Bosnian kid or an Afghan kid was lost in the woods in June for one night, I'd say, they're going to be okay. Let's just you know, be deliberate and search and all that. And so anyway, and so at the end of the interview with the girl through her brother, through a translator, they're from the east of Afghanistan, which looks very much like the Central Cascades, the pines and the, you know, rocky hills and the snow and the whole thing. So that's why the families went up there. They've been here for 2 years since, you know, Biden lost their country and handed it back to the Taliban. But here's a little bit of her.
The 10-year-old hiked down
through her brother. And by the way, they're all hiking up there. The girl got separated. She was dallying behind them. And then she didn't hear her dad calling for her.
And slept the cold night between two trees.
I was thinking I was trying to go to sleep in the night and then wake up early in the morning. And then I'll find my dad and mom in the forest.
Monday morning, the search continued. The Kittitas County Sheriff's Office says her father recorded a message that was broadcasted by the helicopter so she would know the rescue team was there to help her.
So they're blasting her dad's voice, you know, whatever, in Dari or Pashto or whatever. So maybe she can hear that. And probably saying, stay in place, start making noise, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, keep in mind, you know, you leave Afghanistan at the age of 8 or 9. Yeah, you've seen some crap. You know, you're a tough kid.
Nah. And we asked her, what makes you brave?
Allah.
God.
Uh-oh, that is not a Seattle. That's not diverse right there. So anyway, a great story. And her dad, you know, I have no idea what his background is, except that they're refugees. They got in here before the rush.
And we asked her, what makes you brave?
Allah.
God. Yeah.
The 10-year-old's family said,
anyway, good for the kid. But, you know, in the future, this when asked that in Seattle, this is the answer.
I just want to thank my family and friends and God and most of all, Dr. Pepper.
So there you go. That's a long one for a short dive. But anyway, that was it's a great story.
Yeah, nice to see it had a happy ending indeed.
You know who didn't have a happy ending? Battleship Island, never heard of it. It's off of San Juan Island, I guess. But a deer decided to go swimming right next to an orca. Who do you think wins?
You don't do that.
No, you don't do that. But in this case, they both just waved and said, what's up? How you doing? Oh, okay.
And take a look at this. A deer had a close encounter with an orca. You can see its little head to the right of the orca's dorsal fin. It happened over the weekend near Battleship Island. That's a small island.
And so there's a picture of a deer. Because deer, I've been on the Vashon Ferry, and you catch deer either coming from Vashon Island to West Seattle to Fauntleroy or swimming from Fauntleroy to Vashon Island.
Yeah, they are decent swimmers.
And I mean,
lucky for them.
That's how they get around.
I think the orcas got together and decided that the deer taste a little gamey.
Listen, so, when we're out of seal, I'll settle for black-tailed deer. But sorry, there's too many yummy seals around, so sorry. Anyway, have a good day, dear. Try the seal. So,
northwest of San Juan Island, the Pacific Whale Watch Association says the photographer, Sam Murphy, reported that the Biggs orca swam right by, didn't seem very interested in the black-tailed deer.
And you gotta figure, they have been interacting for millions of years, and orcas aren't stupid, you know, and so there's a reason. It just was like, you know, professional courtesy. All right, you know, go to the island. I recommend Port Orchard, bypass the island. But you're thinking, wow, I've seen their work off Monterey, and those orcas can get ruthless. But not the tooth for the deer, not the deal. You know who's reinvented himself as a marijuana entrepreneur, a sportswear designer, and now movie star is your Marshawn Lynch.
Movie star. Tell me more.
He's been himself in a couple different movies. And I forget what they were. And I thought I'd seen one of the movies, and I don't remember him in it. But anyway, he had a cameo in Westworld. Did you ever watch that? I thought that was good the first two seasons, and then it kind of, hello, shark.
Yeah, that was another show I broke up with. I really enjoyed the first season, and then I couldn't stick with it.
He did a cameo in that, and I guess I didn't watch that season. So anyway, there's a movie, you know, Elizabeth Banks. She was in 40-Year-Old Virgin. She's the wife of Judd Apatow or whatever.
Now she stars in Judd Apatow movies, but she directed Cocaine Bear recently.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear. Well, now she's doing Bottoms with Marshawn Lynch as the the drug-friendly high school teacher. The movie is about a cluster of lesbians in this high school who are at the bottom of the social ladder until they start a fight club to teach, because the football players are dominating the high school, as Marshawn Lynch did at Oakland Tech. And so they start a fight club to teach the straights how to be tough. But they're really, what they're really doing it for is because they have crushes on some of the straight cheerleaders who are allowing themselves to be bullied by football players. And the pretty much the only bit of the movie with Marshawn in it, it's got two beeps and it's about, 8 seconds long. But he's the inappropriate teacher. He's the drug-friendly, inappropriate teacher who's giving the lesbians advice on what to do when you get a straight woman by herself.
You created a fight club to get some...
You ain't know how to work that thing. I know y'all ain't...
I just don't know if you're supposed to be talking to us like that, just like as a teacher.
So there's that. And there's an unrated trailer, by the way, that I got that from. And I, like, I'm sitting all through the trailer just waiting for a Marshawn bit that I can play with minimal editing. Instead, it required in 12 seconds, two long beeps. So, yeah, he says stuff about biology and physiology and stuff. So there's that. Mm. So, yeah, boy, that Tampa Bay is on fire. The Rays, I don't like knowing full well what's going to happen on July 2nd. My best outcome is that we don't there's no interaction with drugs or homeless vagrants down by T-Mobile. But I know what the outcome on the field's going to be. And now I'm like, well, you know, how good of seats do I go for? I mean, you know, the niece loves baseball because it's so American. The other kid is, you know, straight out of Cape Town, straight out of South Africa. They don't know jack about baseball. All they can do is say, well, it's kind of like cricket. They wear hats, not as nice as sweaters. But I know what the outcome's going to be.
Well, Mariners sitting at 500 now. They got a 4-1 win over the San Diego Padres last night. But you're right. Tampa Bay is on a freaking roll. They have 44 wins and only 19 losses.
You know, how about play the Yankees now that Aaron Judge has turf toe? He was kicking so much Dodger ass, he sprained his toe running into the bullpen. So he's going to be on the IR for a while. But so anyway, when is the All-Star game? It's right after that, right?
It's middle of July, end of July.
Yeah. So they can turn things around, maybe. And maybe they can turn things around before July. But Tampa Bay at Seattle, the getaway game, it's a 1 o'clock Sunday game. I think it's the getaway game. I just the Mariners don't have a good record on Sundays for that 1 o'clock. But
that's when they wear their best uniforms.
Yeah.
So just something to keep in mind.
I'm going to pray to God and Dr. Pepper.
I just want to thank my family and friends and God and most of all, Dr. Pepper.
So anyway, that was actually from that football throwing thing where you get a scholarship from Dr. Pepper at the Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl. Well, this is shameful. I got to say, in the world of being decisive and being an elected official, I really don't know much about Andrew Lewis on the Seattle City Council. But he was a swing vote. It was a 5-4 vote. It's the worst part of drug use in all of Seattle is his district. And he's failed it so badly that you would think it would be a sure thing that he would vote to criminalize drug possession and drug use on July 1st. But instead, this is what he said. Now, part of me wanted to edit the pauses out, but I think it characterizes his weenus. Anyway, this is what he said before he voted no he voted yes on being Portland, basically.
I came out here on the dais today.
Be strong.
Fully prepared to vote for this measure because I do think it is generally proper that we reconcile our SMC.
Seattle Municipal Code.
To the state law.
Stay strong.
But this discussion deserves more than this.
What a delicate little flower.
Wow, very breathy.
Yeah. And then, so I, Sandra Lewis votes no. I'm a no on this. And you should have seen the people who have whatever 11 a.m. on a Tuesday off, free to be in the Seattle City Council. You know, I didn't want to stay in Seattle. I mean, I was at home doing stuff, and then I was on Zoom hold, you know, watching it, and there was a queue, and it gives you a number, and I was in the triple digits, but I kind of regretted not physically being there, because now seeing the people that are there, and they're over the top, you know, crying about this one woman was thanking Andrew Lewis for his bravery. Oh, you know what? Find me on July 2nd, lady. Well, good luck. And by the way, don't think for a second that, you know, the word is out that you're not going to be rolled up for drug use or possession or any of that.
Oh, this was a vote for more overdose deaths. There were 500.
It literally is.
Yeah. 589 overdose deaths in Seattle in 2022. That's up 72% from the year before. And this vote helps guarantee you're going to see more addiction and more deaths, frankly.
We're a slightly better dressed Portland on July 1st, folks. Boy, you know what? If you're going to work for a drug cartel in there, I'm not kidding. The call center. If you're going to work for the drug cartel's call center, don't complain to HR. As many as 8 young workers were confirmed dead yesterday in Mexico, dismembered and put in bags after they apparently tried to quit jobs at a call center operated by a violent drug cartel that targeted Americans in a real estate scam. So, I don't, it's not funny that people are dead. It's just that you're working at a violent drug cartel and you're thinking, this is a little more violent than I thought. Who was with me? Let's go up to HR. And you wind up in bags. So that story developing on that. Well, you know who gets off a plane in 1 month in Sacramento, California? This after nearly 36 illegal immigrants were flown to Sacramento by Ron DeSantis. It's the same person, Ron DeSantis. Is there a possibility that he's going to be arrested? Jacob Soboroff of NBC asked him that, Gavin Getty, the governor of California, asked him that. And it's funny because he's the one who tweeted kidnap charges, ? That's what he tweeted. So the NBC correspondent has the temerity to ask him, what about that? And Gavin Getty calls it hyperbole. But we'll get to the guy's all about spectacle. Can you imagine the spectacle of Gavin Newsom next to his lickspittle attorney general arresting Ron DeSantis as he gets off a plane in Sacramento? I mean, if you can't figure it out, Gavin Getty is I think he's betting on Biden dying before 2024. Isn't that what that is? I mean, if you're getting national headlines and you're campaigning and you're using these illegal immigrants for political theater by blaming Ron DeSantis for using him for political theater, your next step is arresting Ron DeSantis, isn't it? Is that a good move or a bad move for Gavin Getty?
It's a good move for his base and people that already love him.
Oh, they're going to be stunned and shocked when Joe Biden is not alive this time next year. I don't know nothing. I just know that there's a whistleblower says that there's UFO wreckage and remains. So anyway, all right, we'll get back here in just a second. The 1 year 180. How do you go from appealing to Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, the rest of them, Brooks Koepka, and saying, have you ever had to apologize for being in the PGA? And 1 year later, you sold out to bin Laden, apparently, or Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. So that shocking 180 contrast that ran after this. Also, an early morning checking of your texting, 800-465-8770. And Tucker Carlson on the Zelensky dam conspiracy thing or something. AM 770 KTTH.
Measure
because I do think it is generally proper that we reconcile our SMC.
Someone hold me so I can vote no. I can vote yes. Yes, I'm being Portland. I am 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. So where are we? Girl saved. She credited God to Channel 5. The orca didn't eat the deer. Marshawn can swear. And in the unrated trailer, you can see that. Chris Christie yesterday announcing that he's running. And he's running basically as a hockey thug, as a goon. I mean, his job is to take down Trump in as a former U.S. attorney and all that. He's a courtroom guy and the whole thing. And so last night, there was a bit of a kerfuffle, a bit of a back and forth, well, a bit sideways kind of. Brett Baer was not introducing, but he was talking over, as Chris Christie was doing his walk-up music. Brett Baer said this.
Leading figure in the GOP, he chose not to run then, ran for president in 2016, and as we know, was not successful. Was successful on the debate stage, actually, in New Hampshire, taking out, essentially, Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Let's listen in.
And so Rubio had to tweet, like an hour later, any TV commentator that says Chris Christie took me out is either lazy or stupid. Well, I don't know. I mean, Christie really had his way with him. And here's this one short exchange about how here's Rubio accusing Christie of being practically Barack Obama, except for the race and the weight.
Whether it's Common Core or gun control or the appointment of Sonia Sotomayor, unfortunately,
So he goes down the run on that. And
our next president and our Republican nominee cannot be someone who supports those positions.
Governor.
So he, over to you, Chris Christie.
You know, I stood on the stage and watched Marco and rather indignantly look at Governor Bush and say, someone told you that because we're running for the same office, that criticizing me will get you to that office. It appears that the same someone's been whispering in old Marco's ear, too. And so the indignation that you carry on some of this stuff, you have to also own then. So let's set the facts straight. First of all, I didn't support Sonia Sotomayor. Secondly, I never wrote a check to Planned Parenthood. Third, if you look at my record as governor of New Jersey, I have vetoed a 50 caliber rifle ban. I have vetoed a reduction in clip size. I have vetoed a statewide ID system for gun owners. And I have pardoned six out-of-state folks who came through our state and were arrested for owning a gun legally in another state, so they never had to face charges.
Boy, that sounds like he was almost prepared. Like he knew that question was coming.
Yeah, and then the pivotal moment, if you remember, is when Rubio said, let's dispel this notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Christie said, listen very closely. This is typical politician stuff where he repeats this talking point over and over. And right after Christie said that, Rubio repeated the line again and again. And the audience, it engendered laughter in the audience. It was so striking.
Oh, that's fun.
Brutal. No, well, he absolutely took Rubio down. And, I mean, the behind-the-scenes chatter was that Christie might be afforded a position in the Trump administration if Trump won. Christie ended up actually helping Trump in the debates for that campaign. Yeah. That's one thing that I think he has going against him in this presidential bid is that he's obviously punching up here against the former president. And he went off on the Trump family's grift. He went off on, you know, Trump as a person and his character and said he has a very troubled career. Well, I'm sorry, Chris Christie, you were pretty close with him for quite some time.
And if you can't figure out what's happening here, Christie thought, he took out Rubio, little Marco, for Trump, you know, mob-like. And then he was expecting a place on at least on the cabinet, but he didn't. He was thinking he's a best candidate for chief of staff. He didn't get that, and he didn't even wind up on the cabinet. He feels betrayed. How do you get donations? Because for the Republicans, you have to be at a certain level to be on the debate stage. He may not even be on the debate stage if he doesn't convince people that he really, are you running for president or are you running for anti-president or, you know, what are you doing? So he has to somehow get money out of people who really truly believe he's running for president, when obviously he's not.
The grift from this family is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner walk out of the White House and months later get $2 billion from the Saudis.
More on that in a
second. $2 billion from the Saudis. You think it's because he's some kind of investing genius? Or do you think it's because he was sitting next to the president of the United States for 4 years doing favors for the Saudis? That's your money. That's your money he stole and gave it to his family. You know what that makes us? A banana republic. That's what it makes us.
Now, does that get checks? If he's doing that in a cocktail party, you know, he's going off on a run like that. You know, I want to hear from a guy, you know, the move here is he just wants to get on the stage. You know, he's, you know, no matter what he said.
At the end of it, you will have no doubt in your mind who I am and what I stand for and whether I deserve it. So that's why I came back to St. Anselm's, and that's why I came back to Manchester, and that's why I came back to New Hampshire to tell all of you that I intend to seek the Republican nomination for President of the United States in 2024, and I want your support.
And that, as far as I can tell, that's the last time he said that in that entire thing last night, because then he went on about Trump. Speaking of the Saudis, by the way, let's go back a year. This, I'm embarrassed for this guy, Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA.
He looks mighty hypocritical in the last 24 hours.
Wow. He must have gotten a big payoff, because that's the only answer. Greg Norman got a big payoff to be the commissioner of LIV Golf. And so he's, you know, he can look himself in the mirror or whatever. And let me just state this beforehand. We have probably one of the most complex relationships with any other nation state in the world in our relationship with the House of Saud, right? They own the country. The Saud family own the country, right? Some were involved in 9/11. Most of the royal family were not. They know not to bite the hand that feeds them. However, the PGA commissioner, in invoking 9/11 families here, and the players like Phil Mickelson, who took the money, and then apparently the offer to Tiger Woods is between $800 million and a billion. Greg Norman said it was upwards of a billion, but you're Tiger Woods. You know, you don't need the money. So he famously didn't do it. But this is a year ago. This is Jay Monahan.
How much did you talk to your players about the possible ramifications if they sign on with the new league?
Well, I talked to
Jim Nantz. Jim Nantz there at the seventh tee.
Players, I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
Ouch. Ouch, there you go. And he's wearing those headphones with the boom mic, so that's why you get that.
And those are his convictions, and he's not sticking to them.
There's absolutely no. Have you ever had to apologize? For, because see, if you're Phil Mickelson, you have to apologize at every tee for 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers being Saudis. So there's that. But let's see what difference a year makes. Here's yesterday on CNBC.
I think today is it's a historical day for the PGA Tour and the game of golf. And it's a historical day for the PIF and the DP World Tour. And you're right. You know, there's been a lot of tension in our sport over the last couple of years. But what we're talking about today is coming together to unify the game of golf and to do so under one umbrella. And, David, the way that we're doing that is we're creating a for-profit LLC that the PIF is going to invest in alongside the DP World Tour.
ASAP.
And together we're going to move forward.
So anyway, the check cleared is what he's saying there. And I don't know if he's long for the job. I don't know if he cares, because he just became crazily wealthy. whatever the offer was. And, you know, not for nothing, the Saudis know the game. That's why they were suing the PGA in antitrust court and as a monopoly and all that. The PGA doesn't have pockets nearly as deep. Unless there's...
As the Saudi prince?
Yeah, unless there's a golf course on an oil well somewhere, on an oil field. The House of Saud is standing on oil that they pump out of the ground and sell. And in fact, they just cut production because they're going to get, because they want more money and all that. And yeah, we all know what it is. Is it sports washing? It does crack me up how Jamal Khashoggi, the guy who like wrote two op-eds once for the Washington Post, suddenly he's a journalist. And the other guy's killing journalists. Oh, well, look, it's not healthy to be an opponent of the Saudi regime. There's that. And apparently, according to the actions and words of Jay Monahan, a PGA commissioner, it's very profitable to be their friend. It's a loathsome regime that is reinforced and backed by what we would call, in American norms, a fairly loathsome interpretation of this religion. Now, maybe Jay Monahan is going to have three wives on the side in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. You know, I would warn him that Quran says if you have four wives, they all have to be treated equally. You can't have one, you know, in a mansion in Aspen and have the other three, you know, on the outskirts of Riyadh. It doesn't work like that. You got to reread your Quran on that one. But, and, you know, did the Saudi government do 9/11? No. Did members of the Saudi government know about 9/11? Yeah. Yeah. And have we backed off on investigating them? Yeah. Yeah. What is it? $200 billion in arms sales will buy you. That we don't investigate the actions of a couple guys at the Saudi consulate in Los Angeles in Santa Monica in 2000 and 2001, because you wouldn't like what you saw. The Saudi part of the deal was make sure these guys disappear headfirst in the desert, and they did. Anyway, they're good at transactions. AM 770 KTTH. Some 70 KTTH, Brian Suits here. You know how I avoid talking about infrastructure is by being concerned about the curricula that our kids are being taught in schools and by who? It's all psychologically, what's that called? It's called deferral or what's it called? Transference or whatever. Anyway. So that's what I do, and so we'll hear Pete Buttigieg make that case. Meanwhile, in Glendale,
tell you where I'm coming from, Glendale.
Yeah, it was funny. The you get on the side of the immigrants and the native born Armenians in Southern California, and the cops have to break in and protect the Antifa people. On the other hand, if Antifa shows up to defend whatever it is you're doing, you might want to stop and hire the Bud Light director of marketing and ask him what's wrong with this picture. We have people covering their faces that are being beaten by Armenians in Glendale. So that's what happens when, for instance, when you get very, very family-oriented, recent and immigrant families with a immigrant background. And the thing about the Armenians is that they have a very strong family memory of the Soviet Union. And they have a very, very strong, you know, family member of memory and muscle memory in the Armenian people of the first generally accepted genocide or circa 1915, 1916. So this is happening across the country. And I would say, to their credit, America's great family-oriented immigration communities are the ones leading the protests. And this is because – and this the root of it is don't tell me how to raise my kid. And by the way, did you see – maybe we'll talk to her. Brandi Cruz was endorsing the initiative to put to a vote of the people the Senate bill, 5599, the one giving your kid in the state of Washington the right to run away from home at the age of 14 and go to an ally that will help them go on hormone therapy or mutilate their bodies or whatever. You know, her reason for endorsement is my reason for it. And it's like, yeah, that should be up to a vote of the normals, of the people who actually have the kids and feel like that gives them the right to raise the kids. Kind of like in what part of the country? I'm going to say Michigan is where Muslim families are facing off against the LGBTQ13 people. Is this where this is from?
You got the first letter right. This is actually from Maryland.
From Maryland, where there's you get a tax break for being named Mary. Oh, come on, come up with a reasonable demand, okay?
And then there was a counter protest as well, which you'll hear shortly.
But protect our children. I mean,
protect our children. Protect trans kids. Protect trans kids. Protect trans kids.
We need this freedom now. We need this freedom now. We need this freedom now.
Secular school.
LGBTQ 2 plus kids.
So, I mean, that really is the root of it. It's got nothing to do, but, you know, I'm not against any, you be you, but you do it when you're an adult. When you know, that's a deal I've got with kid, is the day you turn 18, the tattoo, you know, whatever, I'll drive you there, you know, fine. But until then, I've been around the block. And I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Just trust me on this. On when you're 18 and you're super wise, you go do it. But in the meantime, nobody but me gets to tell me how to raise the kid.
These issues are coming to a head this year during Pride Month for whatever reason. And whether it's Glendale or outside a school district headquarters in Maryland and protests and counter protests. What's going on here is the message that a lot of kids are receiving in schools right now, and I know this from talking to parents, is not a live and let live message or a tolerance for all message. It's straight up indoctrination and persuasion of young people into a certain set of values that run counter to what their parents are teaching them at home. I don't know if you've seen these videos all over social media, what kids are being exposed to during Pride Month at public school, but there's rainbows all over the school. There's rainbow arches. All the teachers are dressed in rainbows. There's pop music blaring in the halls of the institutions of learning. Yeah. And so, again, this goes far beyond just hey, we should have tolerance and love our neighbor. People are being coaxed into choosing this lifestyle for themselves. We have
and being influenced into the transition counselor for the district, yes, is going to be here today.
Yep.
And the thing is, because it's now imposed from above for a lot of kids, it's cool to sign up for the transition counselor. And the transition counselor's job is to just point to you and say, well, you're actually a boy.
And what
I know you've got boobs.
What young people are after. And also what adults are after and what every human being is really after at the end of the day are things like affirmation, validation, acceptance, a sense of belonging. And when the month of June hits, what better way to feel accepted, validated, or belonging than people shoving down your throats these woke agendas? So kids are going, oh, wow, this is a way to be validated. If I choose this lifestyle, I'll be hugged. I'll have people rally around me. I'll have people tell me that I'm awesome. I'm accepted. I'm special. Kids are malleable, folks. Kids' brains are sponges.
I would say I don't speak for all parents. I just speak for me. And I say, don't take me out of the loop. I'm at the top of the loop. The loop starts with me and it comes back to me. That's the OODA loop with me. And don't think they're your kids. And that's why I got to say that Senate bill should be on a ballot. And the deal,
tell you where I'm coming from, Glendale.
The other deal is, this is all, let's be honest, Greg, this is just to avoid talking about infrastructure.
Good point.
Well, our country is at very real risk of backsliding on freedom and equality. Now you see the attacks on the LGBTQ community, especially on the trans community, and what they are going through. And, you know, I think it's being done out of a perception that it is politically convenient to target vulnerable groups. And honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law that's building the roads and bridges.
Nailed it. So that's what the Secretary of Transportation predictably would say. It's curious. I'd like to talk to him personally and say, you know, you and your husband, did they adopt or what'd they do? It's one of their DNAs.
Okay.
They have one or two kids. Can I, when the kid is cogent, let's say it's six or seven, can I take your kid on a heterosexual tour or something? Can I start shoving down your kid's throat what they should be when they're 18? Or just get them on the record. Because I'd be taping it. You know, it'd be one-on-one. But, I mean, this is all just because we don't want to discuss potholes. That's what that is. Tucker Carlson, scratching the surface of anti-Semitism? I don't know. But definitely not in his wheelhouse as he returns to the public forum of Twitter last night. We'll play that. And, well, what about the UFO guy? It was Karine Jean-Pierre was asked that. Her answer may surprise you as she peels the rubber mask of a face off or something. It's not really it. All right, we'll get to that. Are there aliens or not? Where are you hiding them? AM 770 KTTH.